We are taking a season. This is something that we're going to do, I believe, every year. We might even do it twice a year. And we're going to focus on fostering the spiritual gifts at Restoration Fellowship. All right, so this is something we've planned on doing for a while. I know we're in the midst of a Hebrew study and we've got other things going on, but from the beginning of the year, we as a leadership team set our hearts to go deeper and further into gifts of the Spirit, shared leadership, and the whole body in operation in the gifts, walking more in that fivefold ministry framework. And so let's go ahead and look at intentional under letter A. Here's why we're doing this. Our mission here at Restoration Fellowship is to nurture a lifestyle of encountering God. This is what we're all about. Like, we need for you to personally encounter God, that you would grow in actual authentic faith and love for Jesus yourself. This happens partly through the intentionality on the elders' part of making sure the body is operating in and receiving from the spiritual gifts. Why? Because the spiritual gifts are specifically put in place for ministry to build the body up in love. And so if the spiritual gifts are not functioning, then we are missing out on a lot of encounters with God through people's giftings, and we're missing out on levels of love that we could walk in. That's why he gives gifts, so that love grows. And we'll get to this. So in staying true to our mission, once per year, we're going to have a focus on a culture of spiritual gifts initiative. That's what I called it. How do you guys like that? Culture of spiritual gifts initiative. In other words, intentionality to see them growing in our midst. The scriptures are clear that growth and maturity of the spiritual gifts happens through intentional focus, desire, and shepherding. In other words, if we want to grow in the spiritual gifts and we got to see them, we have to take intentionality. Like, it does kind of happen a little bit in a vacuum, but the scriptures are clear that we're to focus and give attention to them. It says earnestly desire and grow in them. All right? Therefore, the abundance or lack of the expression and maturity of spiritual gifts are directly related to the intentionality of the church family or individuals to them. And we'll go into all of this. General understanding, rooted in love. The entire reason, underline that. We can repeat after the guy, right? I'm not a fan of that, but we'll do it. The entire reason, say that. The entire reason that you have spiritual gifts, or that I have spiritual gifts, or that he gives spiritual gifts, is for a greater measure of growth in the internal and external love of Christ. So that it would be in us and then manifested through us. That's what the gifts are for. And there's a progression of maturity. We believe there's three distinct arenas. Now, this isn't listed in scripture. This is First Justin chapter 1 here. That concerning spiritual gifts, there's kind of three distinct aspects of growing or understanding in spiritual gifts. One is understanding. What they are, what yours is, how do you function in it? Without that, it's tough to grow, right? If you don't even know what your gift is, you're going, okay, great. I'm in, but I don't know how to serve or what to do. So there needs to be an understanding of the gifts. And then two, there needs to be an activation. So your gift needs to be recognized. You need to recognize it. Others need to recognize it. And then there needs to be some form of a platform for you to exercise that gift in. And I'm not talking about a stage. I'm talking about an arena for you to function in. Okay? And that needs to happen or your gift isn't activated. You're not using it. And number three, maturity. So you have a gift. You understand what it is. You begin to get activated in it. And then you begin to grow in it and get sharpened in that gift and how to use it in a greater measure of wisdom and love. Okay, as you exercise in it. And I believe power grows as well. Effectiveness in that gift. This is our hope in this spiritual gifts initiative. We hope that it leads to understanding, to activation, and maturity. Okay, that's why we're doing this. Now, We're going to have fun with this morning. Some truths about gifts. We're going to jump in and we're going to read all of 1 Corinthians, the entire book. No, I'm just kidding. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is going to be, we're just going to keep bouncing back to this. This is going to be our primary scripture we're going to use. And I, because it's the whole chapter, I want to encourage you to open your Bibles or open your phone app so you can look right at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we're going to get the kids activated. You kids ready to do some cool stuff this morning? Oh, come on. You kids, yeah, there we go. All right. Here we go. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to voiceless idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want to make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For no one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as, this is huge, he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. How? Just as he pleased. And if they were one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Necessary. For what? For the growth, for the building up of all, right? Every gift is necessary. This is so big. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, these we bestow a greater honor. To our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Now he's specifically speaking about what here? Spiritual gifts. He didn't just kind of move over to just suffering in general. He's talking about if there's somebody lacking a spiritual gift, suffering in it, the whole body then lacks. That's what he's saying. If one member is honored, if a gift is given and a gift recognized and it's sown into the body, the whole body rejoices. Why? Because we all benefit. Now you're one body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? The idea here is no to all these questions. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire. I've got that underlined in my Bible. The best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. Now he takes the entire next chapter and he talks about what? Love. This is the one we quote at the weddings, right? You guys, husband and wife, love one another, but guess what? It's not in the context of marriage. This is in the context of operating in your spiritual gifts. And he's defining success or maturity or what we're shooting for as the fullness of love. Does that make sense? And then he goes through that chapter. Now look at chapter 14, just verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. There it is. That's what we're doing over this next few weeks. Now, who gives the gifts? The Holy Spirit. So what I realized, in order to do this today, we need a Holy Spirit. Now, I'm thinking about who in our midst is just this very eager, all the time, never rest, energetic, you know, Holy Spirit type. And I thought, Jakin Kostler, that kid is going to be our Holy Spirit. So Jakin, why don't you come on up? We got a Holy Spirit smock for you. Okay. You want to put this on? It's like a big shirt. Got it? There's the head part. So we have a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives out the gifts as he wills. Look at letter A as he figures out how to put that on. And if we need help, parents, I don't know if he's got it frontwards or backwards, or we'll figure it out. Look at letter A here. The gifts are according to grace, not merit. This is really important to keep in mind. This keeps us so steady in this idea of gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are giving according to the will of God, based upon his wisdom and benevolence, not according to our merit of righteousness, obedience, or maturity. This is very clear. Guess what, gang? All you guys, because of the generosity of God, get a gift. Right? It's not because you've done really well and read your Bible this week. It's not because you've presented yourself worthy of receiving a gift. In his desire to bring the body to the fullness of love, regardless of where you're at in your maturity in God, he's given you a gift to bring others into the fullness of love. All right? So, as he wills, he's going to give out gifts. All right? Now, we got a bunch of gifts over here, Jake. Can you see all those? There's 22 of them. All right? We got 22 gifts of the Spirit, roughly, listed in the Bible. We're going to go with 22. There's argument in various circles about that. We're going with 22. All right? So we have gifts over here. And now I need individuals to receive those gifts. Now, what's the one thing that he says is helpful? I don't know if it's needful, but it's definitely helpful. We're encouraged to do it when it comes to spiritual gifts. What is it? Desire, want, pray for spiritual gifts, right? So Jakin, grab one of those gifts. Now I want you're the Holy Spirit this morning, so you're like super eager to give this gift out. I want you to just like display that. Like you just can't wait to give the gift out. Like sometimes we think the Holy Spirit's kind of sitting back. He's wanting to give the gifts, but what's he waiting for? Earnestly desire, pray for the spiritual gifts. I run into so many churches and so many people. I'm not, we don't do the gifts. Well, you don't even ask for them. He's talking to believers. Think about this. 1 Corinthians, these guys are kind of, in my opinion, a little bit crazy when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. They're so focused on it, and they're doing it all wrong, but they just can't get enough prophecy in tongues, and the whole meeting is dominated by spiritual gifts. And he says to them, desire more. I think that's wild, right? And so the Holy Spirit's wanting to give gifts, and he's asked that we would ask and say, Lord, would you give spiritual gifts to me? All right, so now I need 22 kids asking for spiritual gifts. All right, come on up. Now, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to work fast. You need to just decide who you're going to give gifts to and start handing them out just as fast as you can. Go. So as he's distributing, as he wills, various gifts, we're going to need more than that. I don't see 22 up here. 18. We need some more kids. Keep going, Jakin. Be eager about it. You guys are desiring spiritual gifts, so look for them. There we go. All right, as they're doing this, there we go. As they're giving out gifts, hang with me right here in the notes. This is so hard, I know. Let them do their thing. Hang with me in the notes so we can keep moving. Luke 11, 9 through 13. Let's put that up on the board. We're already having an argument about who gets what gifts. Welcome to the church, gang. All right, here we go. Luke 11, verse 9. How many of you guys are familiar with this saying of Jesus? Right? In Luke 9, Luke puts it in the context of spiritual gifts. He says this, "I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." Next verse. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If your son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him." Now, if you're familiar a little bit with the ask, seek, and knock, it's given in the, there's various tenses of Greek words, and they're given in an ongoing tense. In other words, that you're continually asking, you're continually seeking, and you're continually knocking. And he says, in this context, don't ever stop asking, seeking, okay, searching for more of the Holy Spirit, because the Father will give it. All right, have we made it? All right, let's go ahead, bring your gifts up here, guys. Let's go ahead and line up across here. Great job. How many think the Holy Spirit did a great job? There we go. All right, make sure everybody can see your gifts. So big, a big line for me, big old line. All right. And as they're making a big line, let's go ahead and flip the page. Now, your notes are upside down and backwards on this next page, so you got to flip it over. Just a little printing error, no big deal. I want to look at immature to mature. No matter the type of gift or the amount of power that accompanies, look at all these different gifts up here. Different in size and other things, the appearance. Everybody's on a journey of maturity in their gifting. How many of you guys know that these are all kids up here? They're not mature adults, but they've been given a gift anyway to use that gift, to grow in it. All right? If you've been a Christian for a week, the Lord gives you a spiritual gift because it's not according to your merit. It's because now you're in the body and he wants to bring the body to the fullness of love. So he gives you a spiritual gift so that others can be built up. This maturity is not measured in power, so we want to see these guys and their giftings grow into adults with their giftings, but they're just kids right now, right? Now, here's the thing. Maturity is not measured in power or in impact. This is a major confusing area in the body. Maturity in giftings is not being able to raise the dead every time you lay your hands on them. Maturity in giftings is not being able to stand up here and prophetically call out names and ages and addresses. That's power, and that's great. I like power. Maturity is defined right here. He goes, 1 Corinthians 12, you've all been given a gift, and 1 Corinthians 13, you're shooting for love. Operating in your gift with greater cooperation with the Spirit in love. So that's how we're defining maturity. They got all kinds of sizes and diversities. Some gifts are bigger than others and that sort of thing. And it's the operation of love that we're looking for. We're trying to, as we're, you know, seeing maturity come up, we're mostly saying, are you operating in that gift in kindness, in graciousness, in gentleness, in self-control? Are you deferring to others? Do you have the humility of Jesus? All right. They're diverse, yet equal. So all these are very diverse. Now I want to talk about what happens when we see diversity in the body. Let's find somebody here. I think Jakin did a great job of giving these gifts out, right? We could say a perfect job. He distributed as he wills. He did it just how he wanted. Everybody up here has the gift that they were supposed to get. Now, what is your name, sir?
Nate.
Nate? What do you think of your gift? I'm glad you love it. So is there any gifts? Come out here and look at this. Look at all these gifts here. Is there anyone you'd rather have? No. Well, then you are already working in maturity. That's great. All right. So my thought was that I'd call out a kid and he has a little, you know, kind of a raggedy brown paper sack and wants, you know, this big one or that, you know, the wrapped ones. And we kind of do this. We kind of aspire to flashy gifts, bigger gifts. And the gift of maybe service or helps isn't as much admired as the gift of healing and miracles. It's not as much desired even. Okay? So we just want to point that out. When we see this diversity, it kind of goes, well, that's kind of a plain, ordinary gift. That one's kind of flashy. But they are equal, and we're equal in our need for all of them. All right, you guys, the moment you've all been waiting for. You may open your gifts. All right, as they're opening their gifts, you guys are going to find a little piece of paper inside of each one, and I need you to hang on to that piece of paper. So we're going to call this activation. Understanding. They're beginning to see what their gift is. And then let's do this. You guys, take your empty boxes and put them back over there, if you would, please. Keep your pieces of paper. You need that piece of paper. All right, notice we have similar colors. We have similar letters, but they're all a little bit different. You guys want to hold up your papers so everybody can see them? Hold them up so everybody can see them. Who can help? Jeff, can you help? We have problems activating a gift here. Okay, we got our papers. Now, these gifts are given for the benefit of all. They're for the body. They're for one another, right? Even though they have one, it's for the body. All right, letter G. We're going to skip down to letter G. Fighting the inclination to pride and superiority. The pervasive and continual battle that we'll face in pursuing the spiritual gifts is the tendency toward pride concerning our gift and an elevation of certain gifts over others as it pertains to desirability and a false perception of godliness. So what I mean by desirability, we were talking about how those gifts look. Some had really pretty wrapping paper. I'd rather have that flashy, sparkly one than the boring one, right? There arises a prideful, I have the flashy gift. Or a bummed out, I have the ordinary gift, right? And then you find that they have various letters down here. Could all the I's go together? Where's all the I's? If you have I, go get by each other. And all the I's say, hey, we're all the same. All the N's could get together. We have a few N's. We have L's. We get the L's together. There's the L's. All right. We have other ends. We might have so much immaturity in our gifts, we don't even know what our leather says. And that's okay. That's okay. We have a fix for that. All right, hold on. Someone has the gift of leadership down there. We appreciate that. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:20 says this, there arises, depending on your gift, that you have your gift and you don't need any of the other gifts. Or you can only relate to people who have gifts like yours, and that's all you desire to be around because you kind of get it. Now, gang, this is so true. If you have the gift of hospitality, you kind of pal around with other people that get it. And if someone doesn't have the gift of hospitality, you're kind of like, well, I'm waiting for them to be godly. Right? If you have the gift of prophecy, you kind of pal around with other prophets. If you had a gift of evangelism, you find those other people that go, we need to save the lost. And you're like, yes, that's exactly what we need to do. What are all these teachers doing? We need to get on the streets and evangelize. Right? And you begin to say, we have no need of that. Godliness is healing everybody, says the gifts of people that have the gift of healing. Like, what we're supposed to be doing is our gift, and that's very, very common, and it's very, very wrong. All right? They should be operating their gifts, but they shouldn't look at the other gifts as less than or unimportant or not as important as their gift, right? And it's super easy to do that because we're passionate about our gifts. We're very passionate about them and how they minister to people, all right? So it's very common. So I covered both the tendency to surround yourself only with people that have your gift, very common, and to kind of have a superiority and an importance factor based on giftings. Now, some of these guys are so immature, they can't even read. They don't know what letter they're holding. And someone has to come along and bring authority to placing all these gifts in order so that the body can function. Do you guys know when all these letters line up, it's going to say something? All right? And we have no idea right now. You guys hold your numbers up. There you go. Here's all the gifts operating. There's no order to it. There's no, like, we have no idea what this says. So the Lord has placed in the body leaders. Now, these leaders are given authority to arrange the gifts, not based on their gifting, but based on their godly character. These individuals are called elders, all right? Now, I need kids who don't have a letter, and if you're a teenager, that's okay, and I want kids that are good readers and good at Wheel of Fortune. If you're not good at Wheel of Fortune, teenagers, you know what Wheel of Fortune is. Okay, good. So, go ahead, I need four elders. Now, we're appointing these elders because of their merit of character. They can read. All right? They are good at figuring out where people go. All right? So, come on. Four. Yeah, there's one. Did you know that elders are actually, they can desire the position of elders. They can come up and say, can you make me an elder? When it comes to giftings, the Holy Spirit distributes as he wills. When it comes to elders, they're chosen by the body based on their character of godliness, not based on their gifting. I need one more. Why do we need a diversity of elders? Because we got a lot of gifts to manage, right? Okay, so elders are going to put their shirts on. Purple shirts make you an elder. Now you have authority to position the gifts in the body in the order that you see fit. Now, you guys are going to work together to do this as a team, taking all these letters and making them work. Now, I want to read you something to help you a little bit. All right, let's put Ephesians chapter 4 up on the board. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at 7 through, I think, 11, something like that. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. There are these gifts, again, given by grace, not merit. Right? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are gifts of the Spirit, but they're specific here, which is interesting. There's five of them. And these are mentioned specifically as the gifts that he gave. The idea is first. All right, and we can get that out of other passages. But I want to keep reading. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the entire body of Christ. Let's keep going. Until, this is why the gifts are in place. This is why he's given certain ones to build up the body. Until we come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. How many of you guys know that that equals love? Right? To the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, elders, you have yellow papers. There's five of them. Okay? Each one represents one of those five giftings, and they're given to set a foundation for the rest of the letters. Okay? So a little hint is that your yellow letters up here are the first word or the first letter of the word, okay? Besides the S. The S is the last letter of the final word. So that's your first clue. So arrange, elders, arrange your apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There we go. What does this take? They've got to recognize who has what gift, right? And then say, hey, we need you operating over here or over here. We're going to give you authority to be in a certain position. I want to look at general misconceptions under four here as they're sorting this out. I'm going to give you guys a little clue, elders. What are all these gifts unto? Why are the gifts given? For the fullness of love, right? Says it right there. Elders, I want to remind you, all the gifts are given for the fullness unto the fullness. That's your clue. All right? Okay. This is so fun. Misconceptions. Let's look at a few misconceptions as they're doing this. A lot of times, gifts are seen as a hierarchy, especially those, all right? And here's why this is an error. Commonly, the gifts are seen in order of a hierarchy, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. As far as like authoritative, like the apostles have the most authority, then, right? Here's why this is an error. This has led to massive damage and abuse within the church. Are given an order of how the church is built up, foundation to roof, rather than authority of who is in charge of who. Okay, I want to say that again. The list that you see, especially when he says first apostles, then, he's talking about foundation to roof. He's not talking about who fires who, who's in charge. The reason why this is an error is, guys, because all gifts, it's very clear. We just read it in Ephesians 4. He says apostles, prophets, evangelists are given according to what? Grace. In other words, they're given to people who may or may not have a ton of godly character. Does that make sense? And so what happens if you see a prophet and they have a powerful gift, we tend to give them authority. But authority in the church is only given to those who have proven godly character through seasons and time. Right? 1 Timothy. Now, what's interesting here is gifts are given according to grace, not merit of godly character. Notice all these guys have no, not one is more mature than another. They're all kids. They've all been given a gift, all equally. It's just the order of those gifts and how they function together to form the sentence, okay? Oh, now they're getting somewhere. How many of you guys want to be an elder? So if the gifts are given according to grace, not merit, and authority is given according to merit, not grace, let's look at this idea because this is huge for our understanding. Elders and deacons are biblically scrutinized, I'm on the last page of your notes, based upon their consistent history and proven godly character. Elders and deacons, those that have authority, are chosen because of their proven godly character and maturity. Let's go ahead and look at that real quick as they're sorting out. They got the first one. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, Paul's giving instructions for how you choose elders and deacons. Look at this here. Here's a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of an elder, he desires to do a good work. However, they must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetousness. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. Moreover, you must have a good testimony among those who are not even in the church, lest they fall into reproach. They must have the gift of apostle. Does it say that? They must have a gift. Does it say that? Nope. It doesn't. In fact, that word there, able to teach, I've heard a few say, yeah, they have to have the gift of teaching. That word there, when you use it across the Bible, is used in three different ways. One is actually the gift of teaching. It's used that way. It's used more as one who's able to disciple others. Able to demonstrate a lifestyle of godliness and be in and have people replicate that. And then it's also used in the framework of being teachable, to have a humble spirit that's teachable. And I think more than likely that is used in that one or that first or second context. Moreover, deacons, same thing. It's about their character, not slanderers, not evil, not greedy. Godly character formed in them. And he says, don't lay hands on them too quick. Make sure that their character is proven through time before you would give them authority to arrange the gifts and tell the body how to function. Right? So the gifts are not a validation of maturity of love or life in God. Doesn't that seem hard when someone raises the dead? Like one of these gifts down here, it's the gift of miracles. When we see someone operating the gifts of miracles, we just kind of figure they're closer to God than we are. Right? When we someone has the gift of faith to move mountains, Paul says, there's that gift out there. If someone could prophesy every thought, you know, of the Lord over your heart and operate in this power, we just have this tendency to think, they're nearer to the Lord than the guy who has the gift of administration in the administration office. It's not the case. And we make this mistake all the time. All right? These gifts are not a validation. This is also a problem for the people that have the gift. If you lived a life of compromise and had a gift to raise the dead, you would constantly be justifying your compromise because you're raising the dead. And you would be dead wrong. The Lord gave you a gift, but his grace, not based on your merit, to bless the body. It's not about you. It's not a validation of where you're at in him, the level of power you operate in, the dreams that you have at night. Now, how many of you are married to a real, like, I don't know, be careful with this. Not maybe married. How many of you guys have friends that have maybe a little bit more of a flashy gift than you have? I had these friends, they seem to have a prophetic dream like every other day. And I'm like, just one dream, God. Just one dream to show me that you love me too, you know? That I'm near to you, that I can hear your voice too. And the Lord says, don't get off. Your friend has dreams for your sake. It's not a validation of who they are in me. Don't look at you're able to operate. I was talking to an individual who said for 20 years, they had a powerful gift of ministry. And for 20 years, they had an ongoing adulterous lifestyle. And they would constantly feel validated with the Lord because when they'd go and minister, power would break out. People would get healed. Prophecy would be powerful. And they would go home and they'd have an affair. And this happened for 20 years and the power didn't stop. And this person began to justify their lifestyle before the Lord because the Lord kept giving them power. And then when it came out, the body of Christ was just in a mess. How could this individual who did adultery for 20 years have power? This whole gifts things is a hoax. No, gang, you just misunderstand it. All right? Also, the gifts are not static. This is an interesting idea. All right? Gifts shift and change in individuals. They do, and I could prove it biblically. Acts 13 is one of the places that will prove it. Let's look at Acts 13 real quick, and then we're going to help these guys get where we need them to get. We're getting close. Fullness. We're going for the fullness, gang. All right. Up here, let's go ahead and put Acts 13. Let's look at verse 1 if we could. I might have to turn there. Let's look at Acts 13, verse 1. It says this. Now in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Barnabas and Saul were listed as what? Prophets and teachers. What did they become? They both became apostles. They were recognized in their gifting as apostles later on. Now, we kind of read that and think, oh, they leveled up. You know, they leveled up and now they're apostles. But actually, the gifts of Christ are given according to need. And so what happened was they were chosen for an assignment called to go to other cities, and their gifting shifted based on the need of those cities. They had need of apostles. I love that we're encouraged in 1 Corinthians 12:31, even though we're operating in a gift, to desire spiritual gifts. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 12:31. That we are to desire the best gifts. That's an interesting idea. Now we kind of think, oh, we're back to the hierarchy. There's gifts that are better than others, right? Let's throw that verse up there so you guys can all see it. If we could, please. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Did we lose our screens? We might have. It says this, that you're to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and desire the best gifts. And we kind of think, oh, there's that hierarchy again. There's gifts that are better than others. That word means the gifts that are going to be the most advantageous to your circumstance. A great example of this is if you're in a body of believers and you don't have strong evangelists in your midst, that you're supposed to pray for evangelists. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that there's better gifts than others. It just means, the word means advantageous. So you're to look, and the Lord, you're going to look around and say, we need the gift of mercy. Lord, would you stir up this gift in our midst? Lord, would you bring? I remember praying this as a leadership team a few years ago and saying, we believe there's a lack of evangelists at Restoration Fellowship. We're not real great at outreach. Lord, would you stir up evangelism in our midst? Would you give us evangelists? And this is what it means to desire the best gifts or the most advantageous gifts. All right, are we getting there? They're there. Now, we're going to do a few things that when all of these are lined up rightly, what's happening? We're growing into the fullness. Now, let's say that we decide that apostles and prophets are more important or better. So let's have a couple. Butch, come up here, buddy. Turn around. Come up here. Come on the stage. Here we go. And Stetson, you can come up. We have an apostle and prophet here. These are yellow guys. They have one of those five folds. And then let's make a few of the green letters. Just a few of you guys go sit down over there. There you go. Have a seat. Few of you guys, let's have two of you over here go sit down. The rest of you guys stand up here. There you go. Now we have these levels of giftings. Now we're going to recognize mostly these guys, and we're going to have these guys down here doing their thing, and then we're going to have some bench sitters. Now how's the growing into the fullness working, gang? Not so great. But we do this, don't we? We focus on one or two gifts. We elevate them. We give them the most platform and the most time, and we give others a back seat. But we don't come to the fullness that way. Let's have you guys return back to where. Elders, get these guys back in order where they belong. Now, here's what's common too, is we have steel. Buddy, you know what? You're just not feeling it. You don't want to give your gift. You're too busy. You don't want to be involved. Just go have a seat for a little bit. You're good. I'm not picking on you. All right? And then you, in this pretty yellow dress, you can do the same thing. You just don't really want to be a part of the body. You don't really want to get out there, so you can go have a seat as well. You're good. Just go have a quick seat. We're going to bring you right back. No, no, no. He doesn't want to be a part. Resist. Steal. Resist. You don't want to be in the... Now the elders are going to try. Say, no, come bring your gift. He's going to say, no, I don't want to. But the elders know that they're not going to get to the fullness without it. And they're going to pursue you and say, would you please participate? Come on, get in the small group. Get involved. We need you. We're not just looking for great numbers. We're looking for the fullness. We want to grow in love too. We need you. All right, so elders, bring everybody back into the fold. This is your job. Get them lined up. I think you got one missing over here. We don't quite have the growing in the fullness. There you go. Convince her to join. She doesn't really want to. Not really sure. It's easier to not. All right. This is the only way it works. When we have all the gifts at the same level, inequality, all operating, this is the only way that we grow into the fullness. Now, can we have love without all the gifts working? Absolutely we can. Can we have the fullness? Not according to Scripture. Unless the gifts are all working that are distributed under the wisdom of God unto the fullness, then we're not going to get there. All right, this is why we're focused on this as a church family. This is why we want you guys to know what your gift is. We want to get you guys activated in your gift. We want you to participate. And we're going to be these maroon shirts up here that are just like, come on, guys. We're going to figure out your gift to get you in order and figure, and we're going to go for the fullness. All right? Amen? How many of you guys think the kids did a great job? How many of you guys think our elders did a great job? Nice job, gang. All right, you guys can all go sit down. Thank you so much. You guys can keep your gift if you want to. How many of you guys think our Holy Spirit did a great job? Good job, Jakin. All right, Matt, why don't you come on up? We want to spend just a few minutes asking for the Holy Spirit to increase the gifts in our midst. If you don't know what your gift is, or if you're just saying, Lord, would you give me more? This is all a correct heart posture right now. We're just asking. We're going to be spending. We're going to do some intentional things here in the weeks to come. And I just want to think about those passages that says, ask, seek, knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Earnestly desire. Why? Because your heart to go to the fullness of love. The Lord in his wisdom made you dependent upon the others around you receiving from gifts and operating in them. He made you necessary to the body by giving you a gift, not based on your merit, not based on your age, how long you've walked with the Lord, not based on anything, but on his goodness and his desire to bring the body into the fullness of love. And your job is to see it, respond to it, ask for more, and operate in it. So we just want to go into a time of prayer. But I want to pray for those that were like in the beginning of our session, the Holy Spirit wanting to give gifts, and they just weren't coming forward, saying, no, I don't necessarily want to be recognized, to go up, to get involved. Lord, correct us if we're like the ones who felt like there was a gift that was better than ours. We'd rather have a different one. Forgive us for the way that we've propped up certain gifts over others. Forgive us for losing sight that it was about the fullness of love, not about shows of power. God, we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking here at Restoration Fellowship that you would give gifts to your children. Distribute as you will, Lord. And keep us from pride and haughtiness. And place us in the body as you would have us. I ask that you would increase the giftings among us, both in our understanding of them, our effectiveness in them. But God, most of all, I ask that you would cause them to be administered in love, use them to build up love for Jesus in our midst. I want to give you guys an opportunity to pray on your own and ask the Lord for a gift of the Spirit. Maybe you know your gift. Ask. ask the Lord for growth in love to administer it. Administer your gift in more patience, kindness, self-control, humility, goodness, joy. Kids, I hope you're praying with us. We need your gift too, for real. There's no age limit on gifts of the Spirit. We're so grateful to be doing this with you as a church family today. We need your gift. We need the gift of the 80-year-old and the 8-year-old. So Lord, we ask that you would take us to the fullness. Take us to maturity. That you would cause us to be built up, established, rooted, grounded. That we'd be a healthy body functioning as every member, doing its part, bringing health to the body. Bringing seeing, bringing hearing, bringing active hands and active feet. You guys go ahead and stand together. Lord, as we do this series, Lord, just we're setting our heart before you, asking, Lord, increase in our midst. Show us how to walk in this better. Show us the areas that we need to honor more. And place each one of us where we belong. Unto love for your Son and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.